It's time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you every week by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us. Hello there, Mr. Meehan.
Hi there. That's a good song you got playing in the background. Wow, it's been a long time since I've heard that.
My old student, Howie Day.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Oh, my God, I totally forgot he's from here. I see. When I heard that, I wasn't anywhere near Maine. Isn't that funny? There you go. That's right. My wife has mentioned that. Well, Rich, you know, I heard you talking earlier. It's tough as a parent to accept that there have been 129 drag shows this year. And those drag shows, I'm sorry, I'm being told it wasn't mass shootings. 129 mass shootings. No, the drag shows have not harmed anyone. Yeah. I'm, as I feel like every parent in the world should be right now. You're just every time you're like, when's it going to be mine?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just not fair. It's just not fair. It's not right. So we're going to talk about something else.
Good. Good.
Right now, because man, it's every day. So here's something else that's every day, and it's fun. So just to remind everybody where we've been at with Message in the Bottle, we're talking about packaging this month, you know, how the good stuff, the good juice gets to you and gets in your glass. So today I thought I'd talk about boxes. You know? There's two important boxes in the wine world, and we're going to kind of try to cover both of them. First, we'll start small. Wine boxes. More commonly in the industry known as bibs, bag in boxes, right? Although, as anybody who's been in my store, as well as others have noticed, some industry folks are refraining even from the box. They're just going straight up bag, like it's a big old beautiful Capri Sun like adult beverage, except sans straw, which is probably for the best because they're usually all in like 3-liter packaging. But that's neither here nor there. But yeah, so we call them bibs, bags and boxes. It's a fairly new concept, as probably doesn't surprise anyone in terms of packaging of any liquid. It was interesting just in doing some research. I had never looked this up, and all of a sudden today I started to write about Franzi. I'm like, well, Franzi didn't come up with this. Who did? It turns out that the idea for packaging boxed wine was a guy named Thomas Angove, I think I'm pronouncing that right, who is from South Australia. And it's actually interesting in further research, the early stuff, all of it is Australian, and yet it's not like you can come into my store or anybody else's store and see a swath of Australian boxed wine. More to come on that, but it's just kind of funny that that's where it started. And really what the design concept was, take it for what you will. The design, this is from Wikipedia, I'm taking this. Design was, quote, based on a product already on the market, a bag in a box used by mechanics to hold and transport battery acid.
Wow.
I mean, there you go. But being that wine obviously is a slightly volatile substance, they needed something to put it in. And indeed, eventually it became, wine and also spring water. Are the two biggest things that you sell in this way, and the battery acid thing has kind of gone the way of the dodo. But just kind of interesting. And also, and I love this, in Australia, boxed wine is more commonly referred to as a goon. The cardboard box is referred to as a goon box, and of course the bag is a goon bag. And it's so much more fun than bib, let's be honest. So I like that. And that all derives from, it's thought to derive from the word flagon, which of course is a more ancient vessel for liquids. And I guess in the Australian colloquial terminology, it turned into goon. I'll take it. Obviously, for years in this country, it was sort of solely used by the folks who were also doing large scale jug wines. Obviously, like I said, Bob Franzia, amongst others, sort of seized upon it and put out onto the market drinkable, but barely drinkable, wines in this form. And in retrospect, props, because, I mean, there's no UV. It doesn't oxidize, although with the amount of crap in a Franzia box, maybe you're not so worried about that. But, I mean, it was kind of ahead of its time, so, you know, props there. And now we're finally, after, you know, years and years of begging, seeing good wines. Not great wines. I mean, you know, you simply wouldn't do that, I suppose, because you don't have to. But a lot of the places that used to, and still do, supply us, meaning the American market, with good, low-cost, you know, or value wines, if you like to think about them, the same places that gave us Fat Bastard, for instance, and early sort of, hey, you know, it's drinkable, it's not so bad. So you're talking Southern French, Portugal, a big one, Spain, the same places that kind of give us, you know, a lot of good cooperative wines in bottle. Now they're doing boxes, again, a lot of them with sort of silly names to sell to the American market, or sort of basic names, you know, your Provence rosés and stuff like that. But it's great. Like, it's such a good way. So just to remind people, when you have a bag in a box, no oxidization, because the bag sort of collapses in on itself. So the only oxygen is whatever would be trapped in the solution of the wine itself. It's very economical, costs much less to ship than glass. And so, yeah, the advantages are obvious. Of course, there's the stigma, but we kind of have gotten over the screw, so we can probably get over this. Before I run out of time, I also want to talk about shipping wine. So the big boxes, right? Big shipping containers. And obviously, during COVID, during COVID, not that it was COVID, but we all sort of learned, remember that big ship, the Ever Given, it got stuck in the canal, backed up shipping for a host name the product. And so we started to see just how sort of razor's edgy overseas shipping can be, and that's how wine and as I said, a host of other things gets here. And then, you know, you kind of need to remember, there's before you shipping, you got to build the container. It's a refrigerated container if it's any good. There's delays, there's heat, there's customs, there's sitting on docks, more heat, trucks, bottle shock, which is when the stuff gets agitated. More shipment, more heat, more shaking, and then it gets to my store. So hopefully, and I try to deal with the best importers who have the best systems and the best transport systems, especially because it's a volatile substance. It's an agricultural product. So it behooves all of us to try and work with importers that take that into consideration as best as possible. And sometimes, again, U.S. customs can muck up even the best laid of plans. But it is important that, you know, people just kind of keep that in mind and remember that this is sometimes some of the reason that a bottle you buy might be less than what you were hoping. Certainly a good situation to bring whatever's left in that bottle back to your merchant and say, hey, can you taste this? Sometimes being cooked is absolutely a thing. So I'm sure I'm out of time. Hope everybody's well. Take care of each other. I believe next month we're going to start our cooking with booze. Ooh. Segment. Always a fun one. So yeah, everybody take care of each other. Hold your children a little bit tighter tonight, and keep fighting the good fight on that front. Everybody who cares. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Eric. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the Bottle every Tuesday, right here on Downtown.